Before we get started tonight, I'm talking about the parable of the sower. But I thought that I already had it lined up in this Bible, and you guys haven't seen me use this Bible to teach it. And I can just if you looked at it, it's just, there's notes all over the place. It's beat up. On the front of it, I got about 80 tray stickers. And on the inside, there's more tray stickers because I had to try to create a backing. Here's your juicy apple shampoo label for the backing, you know. And I built this Bible. I taught with this Bible for 19 months in the county before I did my federal time. And then I had to do my state time. So when I left it at the Allen County Jail and passed it to the next guy that I thought was going to lead. And I know some of you guys that know a little bit of my testimony, I can touch on a little bit of it. But really, I was sitting on A block, and there was another guy that was leading Bible study, and he was amazing to listen to. I mean, I was hiding in the room kind of listening to him for a while, and then eventually he sucked me out to the table and I was listening. Time's going by, we're doing time, and one day he pulled me in his room. He said, "I bailed out. I'm getting out. My charges were dropped." I was like, "That's amazing, amazing." He hands me this Bible. I was like, "Well, what's that for? You know, what am I going to do with that?" And he's like, "You're going to teach." And I was like, "No, I'm not ready." He said, "You must be," because he was getting out. And he handed me this Bible because it had a concordance in the back, and I could kind of look up verses and track it and go and navigate back and forth on what's tied together. And this is the Bible that I read for 2.5 hours a day for, gosh, I'd say 2.5 years straight before I had to leave it to somebody to teach with. And then I went to federal prison, and then I got home from federal. I got that done. I went to state prison, and I got that done. I come home, and I landed here from these guys, and I just started listening just like this. And then eventually, somehow, you know, we shared, and I became the chaplain of Faith Based Mentoring Ministries, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And then I'd have to say, about 2 years in, maybe 3 years in, guy walks in and sits down right next to me with this Bible. You know, and I just think I'm a statistics guy. And I think, you know, what are the odds of this finding its way back to me years later? Amen. And it's just those little things that we look for, you know, and I always talk to us about, when you find what you're looking for, anytime you end up in a message or a church or anything like that, if you're going there and you don't like the pastor, you don't like the choir, you don't like the person you're sitting next to, you're going to find that, right? Right? But if you're going there and you're looking for that message, and your mind, your eyes are open to what God is doing in your life, then these little bitty things are just constant confirmation that God is working with us. Amen. And this is probably, and also this Bible has one of, I noted in there, one of the times that my actual prayers were answered, because it was an impossible how it come about. And then I noted in Philippians 4, it's just talking, I was very confused at the amount of time that I had to do. You know, I'd been teaching, and I was praying and praying and praying and teaching and praying and teaching. And they came, and they just, you know, they were going to hit me over the head. I was 45 years plus a 3 to 18, and my kids are growing up without me. And it was just hard to accept, you know. And God, Elijah. Who knows Elijah? I love Elijah. He came on the block. I prayed tears that night. I was so frustrated because I knew it was over with. And Elijah came in on the block and said, "I had a dream, and I knew that I had to come and see you, and I'm going to give you this verse." And I couldn't believe it, because I literally had cried my eyes out the night before, and I wrote down first obvious message from God to me through answered prayer. It says, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment of the cause of Christ will become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. And I just thought, what a strange. Now, I definitely deserved to be where I was at. I deserved to be there longer than I was. But the reality of it was, is that I was at my breaking point, and never speaking to Elijah comes on the block and then gives me this verse that says, you know, your imprisonment is encouraging the faith of others. So that I remember when that happened. But in any event, I just think that it's amazing the way that God works in our lives. And part of the reason why we're encouraging you guys to memorize this scripture and keep this scripture alive and active in your life is because really, I know it's contrary. It's kind of a paradox, but it is a defense mechanism and it is a weapon against what we're facing. We're facing addiction from our lives. We're facing bad decisions from our past. We're facing years of habits. We're facing things that we don't even know we're facing yet. And the more scripture, the more faith that we put in our lives, the more it attacks that roots and cuts that out. And God just grows us and nurtures us and leads us in that right way. Amen. So tonight, I wanted to talk about the parable of the sower. Because, you know, we really do kind of come and we meet, and there's all different types of walks and generations. One of my favorite thing about this group is you never know who you're going to sit next to. And the fact of the matter is we stand on that each and every single person in this room is every bit as important to anyone else, period, bottom line. Amen? Right? There's no other person created greater than any other person because in God we are equal. Amen? We're all to be loved. We're all to share that love. So when you walk through that door, we're on a level playing field. I don't care who you work for, how much you make, what you got, where you got to sleep. We're the same. Amen? I don't know why I keep ranting on that, touching on it. But here's my prison Bible that hunted me down 2 years after I was out at least. And the reason why I didn't have to write it down the other one is because I've got like too many notes not to share it from this one. You guys with me? Yeah. All right. So Matthew chapter 13, the kingdom. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and he was sitting by the sea and great multitudes gathered about him. And he got into the boat and he sat down and the whole multitude was standing on the beach. Donnie was talking about boats last week, right? Yeah. He said, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and devoured them. And others fell in rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, but they had no depth of soil. But then the sun had risen, and they were scorched because they had no root. They were withered away. And others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and he said to them, it has been granted to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, but to him who does not have, more shall be taken away. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of the people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, turn again, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and blessed are your ears, because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and didn't see it, and hear what you hear, but didn't hear it. For hear the parable of the sower, and when the way of the one that hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away, he has been sown in his heart. This is the one whom the seed was sown beside the road. And the one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but it only temporary. And when affliction and persecution arises from the word, immediately he falls away. And the one whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And then we have the one of whom the seed was sown on the good ground. This is the man who hears the word, understands the word, who indeed bears the fruit of the word, and brings forth some full, hundredfold, 60, and some 30. Okay, amen? So this is our pretense, and he's talking about three different types of receiving the word and three different types of people who receive the word and what happens to them. And I want to compare them and look closer at them. And so if we just jump back to verse 4, he said, "And he sowed, some of the seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and devoured them." And when he elaborates on 4, he says, "When anyone hears the word of God or word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what has been sown in his heart." So the seed is the one that's been thrown beside the road. And I want to bring that into a today's kind of thinking, right? Amen. I want to think about this, and the comparison that I have is two different comparisons, because I want to look at it from the guy that doesn't quite understand faith at all, and I want to look at the guy or that's working on his faith, that's in his faith, amen, right? Because it's twofold on these scenarios, and when I'm thinking about this situation, I think for when a lot of times our childhoods, our situations we've been through, there's lots of different things that make us somewhat jaded to faith, right? We have all these kind of weird perceptions of what faith is from what other people have maybe carried it out to be, right? Well, you couldn't get my mom to go in her church because the entire time she was in little school, the nuns about broke their fingers with the rulers, right? She said, you know, you couldn't get her to walk up in a church. She did that already, right? But the reality of those of us that have been exposed to the true gospel of Christ is about love. Amen, right? Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. I'll whack you with a ruler. I feel like it sometimes. And maybe I needed whack, you know, right? But I don't think that's how you carry out that love. But that's my perception. So if every time I think about faith, I think about that. Or the weekend warrior Christians that stand up in front of everybody and put that whole testimony at church. And then at the club, Tuesday, Thursday, and Wednesday, right? And then their friends see them. And they're like, you know, well, what, you know, what are you going there for? Yada, yada, yada. And they just don't rub off because they get that bad taste in their mouth, right? So I'm not hungry for what you got because I can see what you got already. Amen. But when I think about this as far as us and where we're at, and when we are focused on our lives, and God kind of pricks at our conscience, or God kind of comes at us through a friend, or God touches us in a way, and we just try to keep him at bay because we don't want to change. Amen. Right? That word comes to us, it convicts us, and we think about it. Like, we know that there's things in the backyard or in the back pocket that we want to grow because we're in the flesh. Amen. Because if any absolutely perfect person outside of Christ is here, please let me know how to do it. Right? Amen? But in Christ, he said, "Be ye perfect, for I am perfect." That's not my focus. My focus is the fact that if I'm not walking around with introspection, which he calls me to do, then I'm oblivious to where I am. Right? Amen? If I don't generate a warning report, I don't know how much money I'm spending. If I'm looking at myself and my life right now, then I have to be accountable for who I am and what I do. Right? Because how many of us have those that are dependent on us already? Amen? I do. And how many of us would like to just get that second chance to start over again and find that consistency in our lives? Consistency comes from aiding and hearing of the Word of God. And I think that is part of this. When God's Word comes to you, don't let Him snatch it away. Don't let Him snatch it away. If it's something that I don't understand, how many mentors are in the room? Their phone needs to ring. Amen. If there's something I don't get, or if I got a verse I don't get, I'm going to bring it next Monday, or I'm going to talk to the pastor on site. You know, I want to dissect this and understand. I'm not going to let him take that word from me. Amen. Because that's my protection. So, number two, he said, "And others fell upon the rocky places, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil." Verse 5 and 6 correlates to 20, and he says, "And the one whom seed was sown on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary, for when affliction and persecution arises from the world, immediately he falls away." right? And I can't tell you how many guys I've talked to before would be like, why did God let that happen? You know, or how many people just get stuck on the tragedy of the world and they're just like, ah, God can't be real because look at what's going on over here in this block or on that block or in this city, right? Well, a lot of people can't comprehend what it's like to live on that block or live in that city. So I want to give them the benefit of the doubt when it comes to that. But the reality of it is the Bible clearly says that we are in the midst of chaos. What do you say? Go there and be lights in the midst of chaos, but be unscathed. Amen. It knows that we're exposed to chaos. Another one of our scriptures is talking about it is impossible for stumbling blocks to occur, but woe to whom through they do come. It's better for them to be, you know, with a millstone around their neck and cast into the lake. I mean, what he's telling me there is he's saying, you know, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you that strength, and I need you to rely on me. Amen? And that's the kind of faith that we want to have. We don't want any kind of outside situation. Ottawa, if it'd be terrible situations that can occur to us. If we talk about responding versus reacting, and we go into our old sense of person, my go-to was never positive. Amen, right? So I've got like 30 years of choosing to go negative because something happened, but I'm learning today to stay on that faith. Amen? And there's two things that are going to happen there. A, you're going to show God where you are in your life and who you are to him. And B, he's going to get an opportunity to show you who he is. Am I right? Because if every single time something happens and I just grab a hold of it, right? Well, what's God going to do? Right? Amen? Right? Right? I mean, so I don't have faith. I'm not showing my faith. But if the water comes and the storm comes and it's raining, it's crazy. My whole life is Gargamel right now. But I'm holding on strong, and he don't see me going back, and he don't see me doing them same things that I used to do or run to, but he finds me in my room at night with the door shut. Then he can go, okay, he's ready for level two. Amen, right? I don't want to be this guy. He's sorry, Brad. He said the one who was sown in the rocky places is the man who hears the word but immediately receives it with joy, but he has no firm root in himself. But is only temporary, for when affliction and persecution arises in the world, immediately he falls away. Amen. Let's pray that we're not going to do that anymore, right? Amen. Let's pray that no matter what comes our way tomorrow, no matter what happens to our family or our future or our job or our family, you know, no matter what you put in that path, that we're not going to fall away this time. Because God will put consistency in our life. So then he says, and then the one whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this man who hears the word and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. It becomes unfruitful. So how many of us, you know, did that? Like, how many times we have good runs and stop, good run and stop, good run and stop? We always look at, you know, how I just get on this roller coaster ride. I run good for 6 months and crash. I run good for 2 years and crash. I run good. And I get all these charts on the chalkboard, but it's always just this, you know? And nobody can hold on to me, and nobody can look me in eye to eye and just say, okay, well, I guarantee you he's due. He's due, so I'm scooting back a little bit. He's on 6 years now. He's going to explode, right? Right? It's going to blow, you know, because if they don't understand faith and God's, you know, connection to our lives, then they can't understand where this consistency comes from. But if they're witnessing this consistency and they accept it, then they have to accept what he's done in my life. Amen, right? But before, I think we play with these things because we get a taste of that good God. We got God in our heart. We got God in our lives. We all have great intentions, right? We want to think the best. We want to hope the best. We want the best for our kids. Never, ever did we just not want the best for them. But our actions would prove otherwise. Amen? Yes or no? Yeah. Why is that? You know, and we talk about previously many times, Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, so are the hearts of men.
Right.
And I know I got to keep coming back to this, but it's just like that hole. If we got a fire pit in the middle of the room, every time we throw another piece of paper in it, it's just going to burn it, right? Amen?
Right.
And if I have that hole that I can't fill with anything but faith, but I'm trying to put other things than faith in it, I might slow it down, but it's going to leak. Amen?
Amen.
Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, so are the hearts of men. So how many things in the microwave generation can the devil or ourself, because I would argue that I'm a worse enemy to myself than the devil ever was. Right? Amen? Like he is. The Bible says he's working like a, you know, walking like a roaring lion seeking who he to devour, but I didn't ever have to be on the radar because I'm going full speed anyway. Amen, right? Right? It was only then that the faith come in my life that I started thinking, okay, maybe that's an arrow. Maybe he's trying to get me here. Maybe he's trying to get me through there. You know, I really don't. But I was like, how am I always going to get myself? Amen. How much unforgiveness have I carried for how many years? How much pride have I carried on my shoulders for how many years? Right, amen? How much of this thought process has just made me askew, made me unable to really see? Because in the verse, he clearly says, you will keep on hearing, but you won't understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of the people become dull. With the ears, they scarcely hear. And they close their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, see with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn again. And what's he say? I shall heal them. Amen? So what's the problem in the equation? The problem in the equation was always me. Amen? It wasn't God. He was saying, you know, I'm putting this out in front of you, but you're not looking for it. I'm sending all this to you, but you're not listening to it. Amen?
Amen.
Right? Unless you did, because then I would see that you saw, and I could see that you could understand, and then I will heal you. Amen? And that's what he's talking about his word, whether it's a brand new person that's never been exposed to it, or us who continue to walk our walk, because we're constantly walking this walk. Amen? The goal is a progressive, measurable outcome. And many of us just summarize that like, I'm not where I used to be. Amen? I'm happy with where I am, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Right? Amen? They'll say, what do they say all the time? I can't paraphrase. It's escaping me. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. That's what I always hear them say. But the reality of that means that I've got a hold of something now in my life that's taking me places. Amen? And what we're saying is what you get a hold of that's going to take you places is faith. In Christ.
Amen.
And our last guy here, he says, and the one whom seed was sown on the good ground, this is the man who hears the word, understands the word, indeed bears fruit from the word, and brings forth some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. And what he's saying is that provision is a kingdom principle. And this is another thing that many people don't think about. Because most of the time we're going outside of the guidelines of where we are supposed to be doing, what we're supposed to do, shaving a corner of an integrity, is because we're trying to provide for us better than God will provide for us. But we know what happens when we paint the picture and he's not the painter. Amen? Right?
Amen.
I know where that goes. Right? I mean, thank God it went there and came back to this for me. But the reality of it is I know that we're losing people left and right. We've all lost people, and you know, the prison is not the worst case scenario. Amen. It's the best case scenario for me. But he's saying that when you allow his word to take hold of your life, sometimes it'll bless you 30 times the time, the amount of energy it took to get that word in your life. Sometimes he'll bless you 60 times more than it took to get that word. And sometimes he'll bless you 100 times than it took to get that word in your life. And I can testify today that he does work in my life in such that way. Now, can I wake up tomorrow and kick the alarm clock and the dog and wonder why I'm up at 4:30 every day? Yeah. But that's perspective. The reality of it is if you slow down and smell the flowers and see what God does in your life, you can witness it. If you look for God, he will show you he's there. Amen. But if you look for this frustration, he won't. And this is all kind of tied together with 2 Corinthians. And I have to share this to you guys because this is kind of the twofold scenario of exactly what we're talking about, receiving the word. I'm in chapter 4 And he says, therefore, since we have this ministry, we've received this mercy, we do not lose heart. But we've renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience to the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those that are perishing, for in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory for Christ, who is the image of God. And so when you're talking about the scripture falling on that hard ground and not growing, the devil's got a hold of them, man. The world's got a hold of them. The microwave generation style of life has got a hold of them. And that is hard to break through. You know it? It is. I mean, how many of you guys could say, I mean, it's a struggle. I mean, you turn your TV on and you see everything you're never going to have. Right? Right, basically, right? I mean, and then you're hungry, go get it right now. You don't have to cook, you don't have to go hunt, you don't have to catch it. I want it now. So if I'm trained, I want it right now, then where's the integrity in who I am and what I want to be, right? I'm trained from the gate that if I want it, I get it. I'm in America. I get it right now. This is the way it is. Are you hungry? Drive through the drive-thru, right? You know, you don't have the money? Charge it. Right, I mean, how can I make this so easy for you guys? And you know, and it's just so we can get so sucked into that system that, well, he's got a nice car and he's got a truck and he's got, how come I ain't got that? You know, he's got this, they got that, and we just get so sucked up in the Joneses that the reality of it is, how much of that are we going to take with us? Amen. Right? I lost a buddy of mine in his low 30s a couple weeks ago. He had a phenomenal job, Harley's car flying all over the place. You know how much of that he took with him? None of it. And you should have seen the looks on the faces of the people that came just to take his stuff. And the time we lost our buddy, what his family, they were driving his cars out before he was cold, man. You know, the reality is all this stuff that we think is so important is really impervious to the truth and causes us to have a blind eye. Because if God's really trying to speak to me here, but I'm constantly looking over here, I'm not going where he wants me to go. And I wake up the next day and I wonder, so why do I feel frustrated today? Why am I carrying around this anger? It's because I've opened this door of jealousy of the microwave generation to control my thought process. Whose verse was it? I think that was Amy's. Be restored by the renewing of your mind. Do not conform, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen, right? Do not conform. That's the Bible saying, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by spending time in your faith, spending time in your word. Now, the answer to this, and he's telling us, you know, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God. And I like that because Amos 7:7 or 6:7 says, oh, it's 4:7. Pretty sure it's 4:7. He says, can two walk along together unless they be in agreement? Right, amen? He said, can two men walk together unless they're in agreement? You know, if I'm not in agreement, I'm not walking with you. And then 2 Corinthians comes back and says, you know, not walking in the craftiness of adulterating the word of God, meaning that God does not change. For I, the Lord, do not change. So if God doesn't change, that means it's my calling to change. And I know it's uncomfortable and nobody likes it, but the law of change states that nothing can be the same. So regardless of whether we want to or not, we're going to change. Amen? Because the time keeps ticking. It keeps ticking. Everything fades away. Everything fades in the glass of the glory, but the word of God abides forever. And we think about, what is it in our life that we can hold on to that abides forever? There's only one thing, and that's that faith in God. It's that word of God. It's our faith. So if we put that in perspective, then we have to be called to walk that walk. No more talk. Amen? No more talk. It's time to walk the walk. And the answer is in chapter 3. He says, but their minds were hardened until this very day. Reading of the old covenant became the veil unlifted because it is removed from Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses read the veil lies over the heart. But whenever a man turns to the Lord,
The veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is, the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with the unveiled face, beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are becoming transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So he's saying that the power of turning to Christ not only removes the veil of sin and frustration and the past and the world that's clouded us to not be able to understand who we are and where we were. But the key is, the more we turn to that faith, the more that veil gets lifted away, the more that light bulb goes off, the more we grow from glory to glory. Because once you're saved, you're glorious. But why would you be glory to glory? Because this is not the final step. Amen. We didn't get here so that we could quit. This is the game. We're in the game right now. This is the middle ground. This is when we continue to fight and show that love of God, and show that you can live and show that love of God, and live and receive that word and plant that word and let God's word do 90, 100, 60, 30 fold in your life. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.